Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal? Weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, Creepies, welcome to episode 232. Nate is your tech engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean. We're middle-aged and creeped out. How's it going, guys?
We are together once again.
Once again.
Once again.
Forever and ever.
As we are.
Are you saying we're connected?
Fraternity. By the hip.
There you go. The hip to dip.
Hip to Maloo.
Heck yeah, recording time.
Yeah, you guys having a good week?
Mm-hmm. It's a weird week, I guess, with the holiday.
Yeah, yeah. Short week. Yeah.
It's been busy.
Somebody made me yell at him at work, but
well, made you.
They don't poke the bear.
Don't poke it.
Nate, I'm going to need you to yell at me. So I'm going to do something really stupid. Is that what happened?
Sometimes you got to let somebody have it.
They're stupid and then they're stupid. Mm-hmm. Could have been a combination of both, right?
Yeah, it happens.
Got through it.
Good.
You look okay. Yeah. No worse for wear, right? Yeah.
They know not to do it again.
When did you trim your beard? I mean, I know it's still a
last
beard.
Last night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just more trim than I'm used to.
Yeah. It was getting a little wild. Mm-hmm. I figured I'd tame it.
Wild tame it.
And wavy.
Let it grow again.
Here we grow again.
Nice. Yeah, you got to do that every once in a while, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Get it back in shape.
Mm-hmm. It always grows back.
It's true. Hair does that.
Not on top of my head, but.
At least on your face.
Minus the head.
Well, good. Good. Yeah, it's been a short week, hasn't it? And mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm still trying to get used to my medications, I think, mm-hmm. for my heart meds, so yeah. It's been screwing me up. I have felt awful.
You feel different than with it, right?
I feel terrible.
Yeah.
I feel terrible. I'd rather have a heart attack, I think, than
than feel
the way I am. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's been a good week other than that, so mm-hmm. work's been okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a follow-up appointment tomorrow, so with a heart specialist. He's an AFib specialist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is good.
Yeah. So.
So what kind of lies is he going to tell you?
Hard telling, Nate. No, it's been a decent week, yeah, so.
You said work has been good. Is it frigid still in there?
No, it's a little bit warmer.
Is it?
Corey doesn't have it as cold as it usually is, yeah. And I just noticed it today.
Dog days of summer go by, so does the freezing.
I was cold yesterday, but I've been, that's, I think, one of the symptoms of my medications. Mm-hmm. I've been hot and cold.
Heart, yeah.
And, but no, it's, I can tell he's got the temperature better. So it's not as,
can't hang
icebergish.
Can't hang meat.
Right. No, you can't.
Usually rocky.
Usually you can. Gosh, it's so cold in there. But no, it's been better. Yeah. It's not a meat locker. So that's good. That's a positive.
Oh, yeah.
Can tolerate it a little bit. We had a staff brunch today.
Ooh.
And it's in the hub, which is, for Sundays, it's kind of a coffee area. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. You know the hub.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll have our brunches, staff brunches and lunches in there. And that's the area, that and the workroom, because our custodial workroom is right off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the two areas that are freezing. And so it was comfortable today. Nobody complained. The women didn't complain. I didn't complain. So a lot better. Enjoyable. It was enjoyable to have a nice little meal without freezing to death.
You could always have ice cream, turn it back down, have ice cream.
We did have ice cream, by the way.
Not to worry about it to melt.
Yeah, we did have ice cream.
I'm still seeing the side of beef, you know, like hanging in there. And Rocky going, hey, yo.
Yeah, no doubt. So, no, we had a loaded baked potato bar.
Ooh,
yeah.
That sounds good.
And then we had ice cream afterwards with apple crisp topping to put on. Yeah.
See, they like you.
Yeah,
I think. I appreciate you guys.
Baked potatoes and like make a taco out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Taco mm-hmm. meat. And
mm-hmm. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I put a slathering of nacho cheese, bacon bits, and broccoli bits. You know, oh my gosh.
Slathering is a word that was
another favorite avenue to go down.
Oh yeah.
Slathering is a word that was designed to sound appetizing. Did you know that? Slathering.
Slathering. That's a heck of a word, isn't it?
It is. But it makes you hungry.
It's very descriptive.
I just had dinner and I'm hungry now.
Yeah. So no, it's all good. Yeah, we're here in the studio and ready to record, so can't beat that with 2 sticks.
Into September.
Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird to think.
Man. Years just keep going quicker and quicker.
They do.
It's weird.
So you're talking about can't beat that with 2 sticks. You have no idea, if you followed me around on a daily, weekly basis, how many times I've said that, especially with the weather being better. I've said to people like, oh, man, you can't beat this weather. And they're like, no, you can't. And I was like, you can't beat it with 2 sticks. You know. And I tell them all the time. I'm like, my friend says that. Yeah.
It's another good way to describe that. Another descriptive way.
It is.
Yeah. So I was listening to Jim Harold's podcast today, one of his three. He had...
he's a collector of podcasts.
Yeah, no doubt. He's been doing it for a while.
He's awesome, man.
Had Jeff Belanger from New England. He's from Massachusetts, but he's a author of Haunted New England. But they were talking about how it's... he was like, it's September. He's like, you know, most people would say October is the spooky season. He's like, no, September. It's official. So I'm like, that's weird. Yeah, it is. It's officially spooky season.
No, they were saying once that clock and the calendar rolls into September 1st, it's on.
It is. It is. Which, you know, in our world, it's always spooky season.
That's right. Yeah.
But for most people, it's not.
Because we travel in these circles, right? And yeah. With happy hunts. And
yeah.
All the paranormal stuff.
Right.
That's great.
So anyway, it's good to be here. So let's get to the first sponsorship, Nate.
Are you tired of an itchy, unruly beard? Want a beard that looks great, feels amazing, and smells masculine and sexy? Meet your new best friend, Cultured Creature Beard Balm. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is a game changer. Made with all natural ingredients like mango butter, shea butter, argan, avocado, jojoba, grape seed, and meadowform seed oil. It nourishes your beard and the skin beneath. Say goodbye to dryness and itchiness, and hello to soft, well-groomed, and great-smelling beard. Not only does it tame your mane, but it also leaves a subtle, masculine scent with options like Cuban tobacco, sandalwood and bourbon, cedar and leather, and more. Feel confident all day, whether at the office or on a date or at the gym. It's easy to use. Just rub a small amount between your palm and work it into your beard. Simple and effective, and no mess. Cultured Creature Beard Balm is handmade, organic, and natural. Made by a father-daughter duo with over 20 years of beard care experience. It's packed with vitamins and nutrients and zero additives or preservatives. Ready to transform your beard? Visit refineyourwildside.com and use promo code MAKO10, that's MAACO10, for an extra 10% off your first order. Plus, all Cultured Creature Beard Balm is already 20% off, so that's 30% off your first order. Cultured Creature Beard Balm, where nature meets nurture for the ultimate beard care experience. Don't tame your wild side, refine it with Cultured Creature Beard Balm.
We want to thank Micah for his sponsorship.
Yes.
Always.
Always.
I love that input.
And forever.
Yes.
Yes.
That is just showing that I'm paying attention.
That's good.
What and hey.
That's good. Yeah, we do appreciate his sponsorship. So.
And we love him.
Yeah, we do.
He's like, guys, you can stop saying love. Once or twice is fine, but 52 times is getting a little bit creepy. Which is the point, right?
Yeah. If you have a beard, do yourself a favor and get some.
Even if it's trimmed, right?
You can still.
Still moisturizes the skin.
Yeah. Still, you
get
know.
Them vitamins, minerals.
It puts lotion on the skin. It's skin. If I can get that quote out.
That's a little creepy.
Yeah.
Well, good. We appreciate it, though. So, yeah, thank you again, Micah. Moving on to the best part of the show, the dad joke. Actually, it's going to be a dad riddle today.
Ooh, I love riddles.
You do not. Don't lie. You just love them when you get them.
Riddle me this.
Are you ready?
Yes.
How many seconds are in a year?
12 because the yes of the calendar months. That's exactly. I honestly was right there.
Very good.
I'm not even copy. Yes,
January. Because I was like, February
it's not counting actual. Does not doing math. It's
very good.
Yep.
You guys jumped on that pretty good.
Unless you want to get technical and say like the 22nd and all these stuff. That'd be too much.
I very very quickly went to SEC.
I was thinking that too. Yeah,
and I was like. No,
two. It's gotta be, yeah, seconds. Yep.
You guys are.
Yeah,
correct.
I was right behind. You got it first, but I was like, yes.
There are 12 seconds in a year. So
that's good.
Couldn't stump you guys today. So that's
that
all
was
right.
Good.
Yeah. That is the dad riddle of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, you're welcome.
CPAP's working. Got my brain.
The old CPAP.
Clarity, right?
Oh, CPAP-y. Well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, I'm glad the CPAP is helping you.
I can see clearly now.
Jeez.
Sleep fog.
All right, let's move on to first announcements. Sean,
I got him. We come here every week for the creepy, the paranormal, the guy time, and of course the fun. But the most important thing that we do is to continue to build a mental health community, and we want you to get help out there. Call or text 988 or text HOME to 741-741 for any type of mental distress, suicide prevention, or any other type of crisis that you or someone you know may be experiencing. So, go get you some help.
Yep, mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You or someone you know, that is the key, right?
They're there, 24/7.
I still like, I know we keep pointing this out, but I think it's good because I don't think it is intuitive that you can call this number if you're needing to help someone else.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad we have that as well. Mm-hmm. Not just if you're the one in need of help.
I don't know how many shows we did before. We're like, really? I think you were the one that pointed that out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's good to know. So, yeah, there was somebody on our Facebook group. He didn't post on our Facebook group, but he is a member of our group. He had posted that he needed help and he was needing immediate help and kind of just put it on his regular Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I didn't see it until late, but I was like, dial 988 or text it, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're available. That's what they're for. Or 741, whichever works. Yeah, got to take care of yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Got to make sure our creepies are healthy, right?
That's right.
Yep.
So go 100%.
Yeah. Don't get confused with it either. The number is 988.
Have we talked about it? We may have. Dial. I apologize if we've talked about this, but is this just in the continental United States and then there's other numbers for international? Yeah. Or is this an internet? Yeah, that's what I thought. So I don't know.
I've heard the UK one before, but it's not 988.
Yeah, that's what I thought, that there were different ones. But
yeah, somebody made that distinction not too long ago.
I was going to say,
check your local listings.
That's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. That kind of came to my mind. That, yeah. Exactly. Right.
No, it's just in the U.S. is 988. Don't know what the others are, but they have theirs. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. So wherever you are, go get help.
Right. Exactly. That's correct.
Go find the number to contact, the emergency number. Well, thank you, Sean.
Can you still dial 0 for an operator?
I don't know.
Ooh, now we're really getting.
Man, I haven't done that in a while.
Hmm.
Man, that was.
I think
going back, Nate.
Remember the difference?
Well, I was sitting there thinking, like, if you're listening from a different country, of like. Well, dial 0 has to the operator, but can you?
I don't know.
So, you know, the different dial tones, you know, America's is always, you know, the ring, ring, you know, and England is ring, 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 which the only reason I know that is from Pink Floyd.
Oh, yeah.
That's the only reason I know their dial tones, because it's not like I've had a lot of conversations with people in England, but I was, when I was a kid, I was like, why does this sound like that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
So anyway, thank you, Sean, for that.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's getting down to the nitty gritty. I don't have this much longer to announce, but we do have an announcement. Creep Show 2025 live event is on Saturday, September 20th. It will start at 6 p.m. and doors will open up at 5:30. Tickets are only $10 and they can be paid by using cash, Venmo, or PayPal. It will be at the Greenwood Happy Haunt Store in Greenwood, Indiana. Our guest speakers are Austin Lawrence and Sin Schrader Hill, both authors and investigators. And they'll be there to share some spooky stories. And if anyone wants to be a sponsor of our event, you can message me on Facebook or email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. And Mako is with two A's. So go get you some tickets.
Go get you something, right?
Yeah. It's getting down.
Be mm-hmm. there or don't be there.
Be there. Be there or be Nate.
Way to say that, Nate. Be there or don't be there.
It'd be a lot better and cooler.
Oh, yeah.
If you be there.
If you be there.
If you be there, yeah.
Than the B squared.
You can brag to all your friends and family. Mm-hmm. I was at the Creep Show 2025. Show.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, we're getting close. So, let's see, this coming weekend, it'll be 2 weeks. So, yeah.
$2.
It is wild, right?
It is wild.
It will be wild. It'll be off the hook. The hook? Mm. I don't know. That's an old
thing, crazy.
Right?
You know, we set it up, and then like a year later, it happens.
I'm ready to do 2026.
We keep doing it. You got edits for 2026?
Yeah.
That night, I guarantee you, or at least by the next morning, you'll be talking about 2026.
No, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I'll be planning it. Mm-hmm. And then before you know it, it'll be 2026 live show coming up. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, yeah.
Seems like that's how time is anymore.
It's a reoccurring thing, right?
Mm-hmm. So go get you some tickets, come out, see us, and have a good time, a good creepy time. So. Mm-hmm. Anyway, moving on, Sean.
Yes.
What are we talking about for this episode?
Well, this is going to be your choice, and it is the St. Albans Sanatorium. And if interested, please check out our show notes for the topic we discuss.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
St. Albans. St. Albans.
St. Albans.
In Virginia.
Mm-hmm. Albans.
Virginia.
Do you have a foundation on St. Albans?
I do. St. Albans Sanatorium is a historic site offering historical tours, paranormal investigations, and annual Halloween haunted house attractions. Mm. So that makes it the best of the best, right? Originally opened in 1892 as a Lutheran's boys home or preparatory school. Excuse me. I don't know why I said home. It later became a sanatorium and now serves as a venue for those interested in its rich history and reported ghostly activity. The site features Georgian architecture and is situated on a ridge overlooking the New River. Makes it even spookier, right? Mm-hmm. Volunteers are dedicated to preserving its historical significance while also catering to paranormal enthusiasts.
Mm. I had a little gurgle there.
It is on University Park Drive in Radford, Virginia.
Yep. And I'm going to say this right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
It is supposed to be known as the most haunted location on the East Coast.
No.
Yeah, go figure.
Not possible.
I know it.
Heck yeah.
I watched a video and it said that it was the most haunted on the East Coast, and it even beat in a like out of a lot of locations, it beat Salem. And
really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a big one.
Like a lot of the ones that we've talked about, yeah.
I know people are on the Facebook group and saying like, oh my gosh, I know that. Ooh, this will be a good one, you know. So I think people have, I've not heard of it before, quite honestly. I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
Some of the earliest history of the place is St. Albans Sanatorium is located, as you said, in Radford, Virginia. During the 1700s, the city's close proximity to the New River watershed attracted Native Americans and early European settlers alike. Competition over the area resulted in hostilities between the two groups. In July 1755, a group of Shawnee Indians...
That's me. Wait, that's not me.
brought tensions to a climax. They attacked and looted the colonists of Draper's Meadow, killing at least 5 people and taking others as hostage.
Hmm.
Oh. To survivors, the Shawnee left behind grisly reminders of their wrath. The Lybrook couple, for instance, was presented with a bag containing a decapitated head of Philip Badger. That sounds rather exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Draper Ingalls was one of those held for ransom at the Shawnee town of Sonotio.
Hmm.
Before she was taken prisoner, Mary first had to witness the gruesome deaths of her fellow colonists, including her mother and sister-in-law's baby. And through, though there are variations to what she saw, all accounts are extremely bloody. Mm. Eleanor Draper was tomahawked and scalped.
Oh.
Betty Draper's infant child was brained against the side of one of the cabins.
Oh.
So yeah. It is brutal and gruesome.
Good grief, I guess.
And all the other adjectives.
Yeah.
Keeping it family friendly.
Yeah, keep it family friendly.
That's the thing about anytime we go into history of Indian, you know, history, I think it's so, because a lot of it obviously draws back to that. William and I were having a really interesting conversation. We were talking about the Spanish conquistadors and how brutal they were. And I said, you know, the Spanish were brutal. And I said, down, so, you know, a lot of the Indian tribes, there were so many of them that we don't even realize. And the Apaches were like the last to go in Northern America. And they were some of the most brutal. You know, they had the death whistles and all these kind of things. Or actually, I'm sorry, the Aztecs had the death whistle, excuse me. But they had, it was that kind of creepy, like the Aztecs. And there was a historian I was listening to recently that talked about how the Aztecs are the ones that we know, and the Incas, and we talk about them a lot. But they said there were a lot of other tribes that were really, really nasty. And they had some really crazy ways of scaring the crap out of people. And one of them was they had this group that was sent out to scout and to make a peace treaty with this particular group. And again, I can't remember the name of them. But like I said, that makes the Spaniards and the Aztecs look like nothing. And they said this group of the scout of their tribal people did not ever return. And so then they sent another group and they said, hey, you know, we sent, you know, five or six of our guys to come and make a peace treaty with you. But we never saw them return. And they're like, well, we've prepared dinner for you. Why don't we have some dinner and then we'll talk about it. You know, sit down, have a nice little meal, stew. And then afterwards, and they're like, okay, well, you know, where are our people at? And they're like, you can take them back with you because you just ate them, you know, and if you send anybody else out here, you'll end up in the same situation. Nice. So go back and tell. Isn't that terrible though? But like, terrible. I think about, you know, we always think about like, and I'm not saying that we were, any of us were great to each other, but there was a lot of the, you know, we think of the Northern Indians, but there was also, you know, Central America, South America, and all the different tribes and Indians. And it just, you know, it's wild. Some of the things, but I heard that and I was like, that is, we talk about Indians and we don't think about how deep some of those wars between each other went and how they were like, you know, that would definitely, like I said, between the Aztec death whistles and, you know, eating each other, it's like, yikes.
It's a little much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
It is a lot. I've got some information here. With a staff to patient ratio of 48 to 6,509, the patients certainly did not receive proper attention for their ailments. Not to mention psychiatric medicine at the time resembled torture more than treatment. Doctors would cut open patients' skulls and shock them into a stupor with electroshock therapy. Insulin-induced comas and lobotomies left patients brain dead, or in some cases, actually dead. One particular room had an especially high concentration of suffering. Here, patients would receive hydrotherapy treatment that, according to today's standards, would have had the place shut down. Some doctors would wrap patients in freezing cold towels, while others would strap people down to streaming water vats where they remained confined for days. They would also blast patients with fire hoses. No wonder this room became known as the suicide bathroom. Apparently at least four people killed themselves in this room.
Man,
that's rough.
When you said
that's brutal.
Hydrotherapy, all I could think was is like drowning therapy, you know, like, but that sounds like it could have been, you know.
That is terrible.
It really is.
That is that would be very uncomfortable.
I know we've talked a lot about the TB hospitals. It says in Radford, Virginia, existed a tuberculosis hospital in response to the rising tuberculosis pandemic. It was established in the early 1900s, at least St. Albans was. Hospitals that treated tuberculosis were in high demand at that time, of course, since due to the serious public health issue. St. Albans, which was renowned for its top-notch tuberculosis treatment facilities, was the... Oh, this is St. Albans in Vermont, was the inspiration for this hospital's name.
Oh, okay.
These hospitals served as the inspiration for the hospital in Radford, which was built with the goal to provide the best care possible to tuberculosis patients in the area, which, from what you were saying, sounds exactly what was happening.
Yeah, I would say so.
Hospital started off in a tiny structure, but as the need for its services increased, it evolved to accommodate more structures and amenities These featured a surgery suite, a lab, and a brand new patient wing. The hospital also contained a sizable garden and a number of outdoor entertainment spaces where patients could relax while enjoying the high pressure hose. No, it's good. Thus, enjoy the sunshine and fresh air, which was thought to aid in their recuperation.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the freezing cold.
Mm-hmm.
So I found more on this Mary Draper Ingalls that got captured.
Oh, okay.
By the Shawnee. Apparently, it, from what it looks like, it's a little bit west of where Bobby Mackey's is.
Oh.
Is where their encampment was.
Oh. Or exactly where that's at.
Yeah. But she eventually managed to flee from the Shawnee. And the trek back to home was 1,000 miles, which she did in 3 days.
Wow. 1,000 miles in 3 days.
She did the journey supposedly with a German woman. And the German woman attempted to try to eat her twice because they're so hungry.
Oh, gosh.
Goodness sakes.
Oh, no, 43 days. Oh. Sorry, I missed the one word. Sorry. Yeah, I thought 3 days for 1,000 miles. It makes, crazy.
I was going to say.
That was hauling.
Yeah.
One word makes a difference.
So, yeah, it was 43 days, 1,000 miles.
That's still a lot.
And a German woman attempting to eat her twice.
That's goodness.
She also had to abandon her baby that she had given birth to in captivity.
Mm.
So, yeah. Also, after Mary's whole debacle in Draper's Meadow massacre, there was also some Civil War violence, violent battles, Battle of Cloyd's Mountain. According to the St. Albans, Union artillery bombarded the settlement of Central Depot from the ridge where St. Albans stands today. This explains why many people who have visited the building report of hearing rifle shots, smell gun smoke, and seeing spectral mist rise from the hospital's surrounding grounds. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you have Indians, Civil War, you have...
Mm.
All sorts of things before the hospital is ever even constructed.
Mm-hmm. What'd you call it? Cloyd's what? Ridge or mountain or something?
Mountain.
Mountain. I'm no historian, but that sounds made up. Who ever heard of Cloyd?
Well, usually it's Floyd, but this
Floyd
is
or Lloyd or Cloyd.
So it's Cloyd.
Going back to when it was a school for the boys, a Lutheran boys' school. Said, unfortunately, let's see, George W. Miles, the man behind the school's inception, students were a far cry from the future Southern gentleman he had envisioned. As headmaster, Miles demanded boys to perform well in classrooms and on sports fields. To meet such high expectations, many would turn to extreme methods. St. Albans thus quickly developed a reputation for being a rough and competitive school where bullying was not only condoned, it was encouraged.
Yeah.
Heated athletic rivalries may have allowed St. Albans to secure numerous football championships, but they also made homicides and suicides frequent occurrences on campus. After Miles' death in 1903, enrollment at St. Albans quickly fell and it closed 8 years later. In 1916, Dr. John C. King acquired the property to fulfill his vision of introducing the nation's first top-notch psychiatric hospital.
Hmm.
Yeah, I heard on that video that they were talking about how bad the school was. About bullying and how boys were attacking each other and not a positive environment.
That's terrible.
Not at all. Yeah.
Wow.
You wonder, and I don't know. I'm not sure that was common across schools. And if it was, it's sad, but you just wonder how in the world you live with yourself, you know, by being okay with that or creating that kind of a culture.
Yeah.
It just seems very foreign to us, which I mean, I know there's still bullying and there's still competition and things like that, but there's definitely still sports rivalries, but that seems pretty wild.
Yeah, but you don't get murdered because you fumbled the ball.
Not normally. or get so, like, you know, emotional about it that you want to commit suicide. I mean, that's terrible.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it shouldn't be that way.
This says the St. Albans Village housing complex presently resides on the site of the former hospital. Many of the original architectural details, such as the hospital's recognizable red brick exterior, have been kept despite the fact that the old hospital buildings have been restored and used for new purposes. Despite its conversion into apartments, the history of St. Albans Sanatorium lives on in the memories of those who lived and worked there, as well as in the architectural features and landscapes of the complex. It serves as a reminder of a time when tuberculosis was a major public health concern and the role that hospitals like St. Albans played in the fight against the disease. Today, tuberculosis remains a significant global health concern, but thanks to advances in treatment and prevention, it is no longer the major threat it once was in the U.S. St. Albans Sanatorium played a crucial role in the fight against TB in Virginia, and its legacy lives on in the memories of those who knew it and the building that now stands in its place.
Mm.
It is a lot of history. I'm like, it does historic.
Have, mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys looked at the building, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like a place I'd like to investigate for sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It's got a...
it's rugged.
Just looking at it, it's got a vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a creepy vibe.
Yeah.
As most sanatoriums do.
If walls could talk, right?
Yeah. This one would be pretty... what was the word we used earlier? Brutal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
Yeah. Whether it was the school or the psychiatric hospital. Man.
Lots of energy there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Some of it dark.
Yeah, a lot of it dark, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else on the history before we get into the creepiness?
Dr. King, he acquired it to turn it into the medical facility. He was unhappy with the conditions at Southeastern Lunatic Asylum during his stint as superintendent there. So he wanted to open an institution where patients would be well-treated and well-accommodated. He made several renovations to the school's remnants, even adding a farm to the property to give patients a proper place to exercise and play.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, just as Miles's school didn't produce the gentleman he wanted, nor would King's St. Albans Sanatorium deliver his goal of high recoveries.
Hmm.
As we know, there's a lot of death with sanitariums.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of goes with it. I think it, you know, again, how many times have we said it starts out with a certain purpose of helping or trying to establish something positive?
Good intentions, right?
They just get overwhelmed with lack of staff and
good vibrations to oops, not such good vibrations. No. Right?
Yeah, no, they said
it's unfortunate.
History of psychiatric treatment methods during the 1900s, stories of failures replacing failures, insulin-induced comas and lobotomies would leave patients either brain dead or really dead. These procedures were also very labor intensive, and St. Albans staff to patient ratio in 1945 was a sad 48 to 6,509.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, cutting people's skulls open would provide ineffective. Doctors opted to simply shock them to their senses. Schizophrenics, for instance, were given electroconvulsive therapy.
ECT.
Mm-hmm. It was deemed safer than insulin coma therapy. We're not going to give you insulin. We're just going to shock you.
I think I told you that was still I would say prevalent, but it was still being practiced when I was coming into school. And it's every once in a while they still use it as a treatment. I don't hear about it anymore, but it was, to me, it was, I'm not meaning this to be funny, but shocking. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
So we're just going to shock. Yeah, it is kind of a pun. It's funny, but it is like, it just seems barbaric. I just wonder how much time it's going to be before we look back on some of our medical practices and say, what the heck? Or, you know, will our kids and grandkids and great grandchildren look back and like, what the heck was wrong with them? Probably because we kind of look back at some of our ancestors and think the same thing. Oh, how silly, but.
So the psychiatrist that I saw to help with my medications mm-hmm. a few months back,
yeah,
he was saying that they, in that building, I'm not going to say where it's at,
mm-hmm.
they do shock therapy.
In extreme cases, it can still show to help, but it just seems barbaric. It's almost, yeah, I know lobotomies are a thing of the past too, and those were obviously not helpful. If anything, it made you
scrambled
tons worse in a different
or way. Sunny side up.
Yeah, right. So
seriously,
but yeah. So in extreme cases, as I was talking to Jen about, we've talked about the different ECTs and lobotomies and stuff in the past, and she's like, you know, they still use those. I'm like, I know they do, and I know it could still be effective. And she's like, yeah, it could still be a good form of treatment. But like I said, it's just still hard to get your mind wrapped around it. You know,
it is. It seems so barbaric and so outdated and just. Yeah, it just sounds terrible.
We're better than that.
The first,
I would think.
The first person that thought about it is like, light bulb. Again, not meant to be funny but or punny, but.
Yeah. No, it is weird to think that they could still use methods like that in 2025.
Yeah.
Weird. Anything else on the history of St. Albans?
I think that's a lot of the horrors.
Kind of gives the people an idea of what what it was like.
Of, yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
Yep. Whether it was the school or a psychiatric hospital. Mm-hmm. A lot of horrors.
Some darkness, right?
Yeah, a lot of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be a theme among sanatoriums.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I don't know. It's like,
it's like, wow.
We've had this discussion before.
Have we talked about a sanatorium that doesn't have these weird, dark
I don't think so.
Occurrences?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think either.
We need to find that one, though, where it's at.
That it actually...
It's probably on that disappearing island off the coast of England or whatever.
What was that, High Brazil?
High Brazil, exactly right, yeah. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's a unicorn. Well, a unicorn.
Lobotomies aren't working. Electroshock
treatment's
not working. Hydrotherapy's not working. How about a good baseball bat to the back of the head?
They might as well. The way they were doing treatments back then. Man.
Mm.
Well, let's get to the creepiness then. I've got a short little story here. It says, there are many rooms in this haunted sanatorium that are paranormally hot. The basement bowling alley, for instance, and it seems like always...
we've been finding a lot of bowling alleys, yes.
Bowling alley. I mean, I love bowling.
That was the thing.
That'd be kind of fun. The basement bowling alley, for instance, is known to be haunted by two female spirits, Allie, I like that, Allie, and Gina Renee Hall. Allie is rumored to be the young daughter of one of the hospital's patients, and Gina was a woman who was murdered on June 28, 1980, somewhere close to St. Albans Sanatorium along Hazel Hollow Road. Hmm. The spooky... let's see here. Just lost my place. Sorry. Oh, sorry. That was it. I thought I lost my spot.
You followed it off the cliff.
Yeah. So anyway,
So
two girls in the bowling alley.
I like Allie, though.
Bowling. And the other one's bowling.
I know. I saw what you did there.
I like that.
So I'm on a site that's virginia.org, but it is, when I first read it, it says Virginia is for lovers with a heart in it. But I read it as Virginia is for losers.
Losers.
And I was like, I think they mean lovers. I do. I really do.
Did they have losers written and then the V over the S?
So that's what like I think that's what they did. Sorry, Virginia. Virginia. This says, described by many experienced paranormal teams as the, like you said, most active location on the East Coast. A night at St. Albans Sanatorium is not for the weak or squeamish. A variety of events are open to the public throughout the year and include zombie apocalypse. I got to go to that one. Like, let's do that. Friday the 13th celebrations. Got to do that. And the annual Halloween events held during the month of, you'll never guess what month, October. St. Albans is now available for private ghost tours and investigations. Let's go yesterday.
Nice. I'm in.
And I don't think Virginia is really for losers, by the way. I won't advocate for that.
I've never been to Virginia, so.
I've been close. I've been around it, I guess. But yeah, I have not explored much, so. I bet lovers is more like the ticket.
We'll go with that.
Mm-hmm.
If we have any,
especially if we got it. I was gonna say all the listeners are like,
I can look later.
Son of a.
So, I don't know. I'd assume this is the property owner. Hopefully, to this day, he was once a patient there. Let's see.
That's interesting.
As you did, I sort of lost my place here.
It happens. It happens to the best of us.
Oh, Tim Gregory. I found his name.
Okay.
A previous patient at the hospital. As the property's new owner, he made it his mission to renovate its remaining buildings and transform it into a research and enlightenment center. To help pay for this, he fundraises with events on the property, annual haunted house Halloween extravaganza. As guests roam through the building, they encounter zombies and mental patients, but can't always be sure if they are staged or real. Mm. The sanatorium also holds private and public ghost hunts, and these are conducted and led by teams of paranormal investigators. Let's see. During one visit in 2011, at 3:33 a.m., paranormal, they recorded, I think that's the name of the team, 3:33 a.m. paranormal, recorded a ghost whispering what sounded like Deborah in the infamous electroshock therapy room.
Hmm, Deborah.
Let's see. Black Raven Paranormal, in search of a new fascinating case, stopped by the sanatorium in 2013 in the small bathroom located in the women's ward. The suicide room. One team member was definitely touched by something. Perhaps it was the ghost of one of the four people rumored to have killed themselves in the spooky laboratory.
Whoa. Or laboratory.
Laboratory. Like. And then 1 year later, Maryland ghost trackers would also experience a similar spirit jumping at the sanatorium. During that memorable investigation, they also recorded several audio anomalies and captured a strange shadow fleeing down the stairs.
Did you see the graffiti-ridden ice cream truck that's in the parking lot?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, somebody spray-painted ice cream on it. But it's like, yeah, it looks a little spooky. I assume that's when the kids were there.
Yeah, it's a little spooky.
A little spooky. Mm-hmm. Spooky dooky. A little
creepy. Hmm. They also have, as far as, whoa, boy. Full-body apparitions have been photographed in the old alcoholics ward, for instance. Tourists and experienced ghost hunters alike have heard disembodied conversations, screams, and footsteps. Some have seen objects move on their own or been pushed by invisible forces. I think that'd be something that would really trip me out, would be being pushed or tripped or something. You know, like right. Actually physically.
Physical.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I think that. I mean, seeing an object move on its own and hearing disembodied voices, that's all creepy, but I think, and I hope I don't experience it, I think being touched by an unseen force and in a malicious way would not be good. That would be send me over the edge.
Only thing worse is when Nate's hiding in the shadows and comes around a corner and scares the bejesus out of you.
That's happened a few times.
Mm-hmm. And I could say that from personal experience. He does.
He sees us. He knows he's diabolical that way.
So they're talking about how it, you know, we've talked about the history of it going from a boys' school and not a fantastic one. And this says, far from a friendly bit of competitiveness, the lengths these boys went to best each other border on horrific. The results were devastating. The suicide rate among the students was so high that the school was forced to close in 1911, like you guys said. But such a massive, deceptively magnificent building couldn't go to waste. So the complex reopened in 1916 as a psychiatric infirmary. Purportedly the best in the nation. It had its own rooftop garden, a bowling alley, and even a small farm on the premises. What a dream come true for someone suffering a mental breakdown. Mm. Like, yeah, something like that.
Yeah. I'd say so.
If you're hoping to encounter a more hostile entity, the boiler room won't leave you disappointed.
The haunted boiler room?
Mm-hmm. Oh.
What happens in the boiler room?
I don't know.
It's whatever it is, it's dark and hot and boiling.
Because they're talking about the whistle room. I guess you hear whistles from a ghost. I don't know.
Hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I say put this on the list, by the way.
Oh, my gosh. This is the way this describes it.
Might have to make a two-dayer.
Yes. Maybe two-dayer. Maybe three. Patients here were no better than lab rats, and far too many suffered permanent disability or even death by malpractice, neglect, or suicide as a result. Yet it took until the 1990s for St. Albans Sanatorium to close for good. Now it stands abandoned. The windows are broken. The brick is crumbling. The hollow halls, finally empty of students and staff and patients, are now filled only with a century's worth of horrific secrets and, if you believe the rumors, a startling number of restless spirits. These forces, products of all the untimely death to occur throughout the 100-year institutional history of this massive building, have led to St. Albans Sanatorium being called the most haunted location in the eastern United States. Although abandoned, St. Albans Sanatorium is still open to the public in a limited capacity. So, oh my gosh, super creepy.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it.
I
don't love some of the history, but I love the location.
Mm-hmm. Shadow figures in the hallways. How about that? Perhaps the most frequently reported paranormal activity involves dark, human-shaped silhouettes seen gliding along the hallways or darting from room to room. These shadow figures are often spotted on the upper floors where patients were housed. Paranormal investigators have captured them on thermal cameras and infrared equipment, leading some to believe that these entities are not merely figments of imagination. That would be cool, I think. Yeah, mm-hmm. I definitely think.
There is a room that is pretty dilapidated, and it looks like the walls have been like starting to crumble in on themselves, and somebody spray painted, "Look behind you." That's creepy. That picture.
Oh, yeah.
Says, "Look behind you." Yeah. I'd rather not. How about that?
Did we talk about the basement?
Not particularly.
The basement entity?
No.
Says, the basement is, by all accounts, the most active part of St. Albans and possibly the most dangerous. That's always good. Known as the site where electroshock therapy and other invasive treatments took place, this area exudes malevolence. Many who enter report an overwhelming feeling of dread, shortness of breath, or the sense of being watched. Some paranormal groups believe there's something non-human down there, an entity formed by years of pain and darkness that now leads to fear.
Now feeds.
Oh, I'm sorry, that feeds off fear. Yeah. Man.
I don't want to tango with that one.
No, that's not good.
There's Jacob's room.
Jacob's room, okay.
One of the named spirits that has emerged in recent years is Jacob, believed to be the ghost of a young boy who may have died at the sanatorium, or as possibly a student during its time as a boys' school. His room is said to be a hotspot for EVPs, and guests sometimes leave toys for him, only to find them moved or thrown across the room upon returning.
Whoa.
Jacob doesn't like the toys.
Jacob sounds like a brat. No, I'm just kidding. Poor Jacob. I hope he's not one that died in the sanatorium and was mistreated, but
they keep bringing probably the wrong toy. He just wants a G.I. Joe with a kung fu grip.
Gosh. Jacob's picky. Jacob knows what he wants, though. Yeah, that's too bad.
Oh, wow. EVPs are very common. Investigators have caught chilling phrases such as, "Help me," "Get out," and "Why are you here?"
Gosh. Yeah, it talks about the boys' school and into the psych hospital. It says suicides occurred, including a female patient's death in the 1950s in the third floor suicide bathroom, though specifics remain very vague. An on-site morgue processed the deceased. The 1980 murder of Gina Rena Hall, an 18-year-old Radford University freshman, adds a modern layer of tragedy. After disappearing from a nightclub with Stephen Epperly, her blood-stained car was discovered near the Hazel Hollow Railroad trestle near St. Albans. Epperly was convicted that same year, first no body murder case. The verdict hinged on forensics evidence, rumors to Epperly to St. Albans, but searches found no connection. So unconfirmed EVPs whispering Gina linger throughout the facility.
That's sad. It's tragic. Yeah.
Visitors, and we've touched on the happenings of this, but I like how these couple sentences go. Visitors have also described being touched, pushed, or even scratched by unseen forces, an experience that has led some to flee the building in panic. Mm-hmm. Others report overwhelming emotions that aren't their own, as if the building itself is bleeding memories.
Wow. Pretty intense place.
It yeah. is. Did you guys look at all the paraholics, some of their investigations, what they turned up?
No.
It says, standout moments from their investigation. Muffin Man Hallway. Named after volunteer Jenny Johnston's Halloween costume, this corridor pulsed with EVPs, footsteps, and spirit box activity. Elizabeth sang faintly, which is one of the investigators. The grumpy old man taunted us with curses and laughter. The bowling alley and boiler room. The basement's heavy atmosphere carried stories of a goat man and shadows. Investigating Gina Renee Hall's, the one I just talked about, case with Lieutenant Andy Wilbon of Radford PD produced no EVP insights. It says, but the room that changed everything was just up the stairs, Donald's room, located up the main staircase. Donald's room proved revelatory. Folklore cast Donald as a maintenance man who raped and murdered Jacob, a boy abandoned at the hospital. Mm. Retired detective Mike Colwell elicited a chilling spirit box confession. Donald's persona, wry, occasionally hostile, burst forth nicknaming investigator Damon Big Baby Biscuit and delivering a theatrical, operatic display that fed on our attentions.
Big Baby Biscuit.
So what it says is this intense. Okay. We said some really weird things on this podcast. That might be my favorite.
Rubber Baby Buggy Bumpers. Burger.
This intense experience marked by Donald's dynamic presence molded the paraholic's initial direction and sparked questions about historical accuracy. Hmm. Big Baby Biscuit over here. That would be a great CB handle.
It would be.
What's your 20 Big Baby Biscuit? Wow. That makes me hungry for some gravy. Mashed potatoes and gravy, biscuits. Oh, now I am hungry, right? I need a slather and a gravy.
Mm-hmm. Any other paranormal? Any other creepy stories before we wrap this up?
Hmm.
It's got a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely a lot. We want to go there.
Yes.
We want to stay there.
If Virginia will have us.
Yeah, they'll have us.
After our, yeah, they better.
I am curious if we have any Virginia listeners. I bet we do. I bet we do. We've got listeners from everywhere.
Did you guys read anything about the rocker room?
Mm-mm. No.
No.
Please share.
It's the rocker room, which holds a chair often seen rocking by itself.
Thus, the rocker room.
I saw this hand coming. I was like, it's kind of creeping me out.
The rocker person.
Hmm.
No, I didn't know anything about the rocker room.
But yeah, there's all these different places I've been reading stuff. I mean, it's definitely reported seeing full body apparitions and shadow people and
yeah.
levitating objects and disembodied voices. And yeah, it's a plethora.
Gravy of boats. Oh, wait, no, that was just activity. My mind.
Floating biscuits right to baby Sean's biscuit. Mouth.
I've got a KFC like thing going in my head now.
I think it covers everything. Yes. I think it's got it all. EVPs, yeah, every type of creepiness there.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And such a dark history.
Would lead to that. For you.
No, it's a pretty cool looking building too.
Yeah, it is. And it's got a bowling alley.
Creepy deep.
That's right.
I like to bowl. I haven't bowled in a while.
Well, we can go there and investigate, and we can do a few frames.
I don't know if that works. I guess if they still have the bowling pins, we could set them up each time. Set them up, knock them down.
That's right.
Bowling alleys must have been therapeutic back in the day, I'm guessing.
I wonder if it...
Because they didn't ever say, like, let's have a golf course. Or
it might have been for the doctors.
Swimming
stuff.
Pool. Oh, could have been. Yeah, going online. Yeah, in more modern times, it would have been like a basketball court or something.
Or the boys' school had a... bowling team.
Mm. Maybe they did.
It's possible.
It is possible. Yeah. Never know. Yeah. Well, I'll wrap it up here then. If you're drawn to the darker corners of American history, St. Albans Sanatorium offers more than just ghost stories. It offers a chilling look into the way society once treated its most vulnerable. And while the patients and staff are long gone, the energy remains, lingering in every hallway, whispering through every cracked window. Those who walk its halls today don't just explore a haunted building. They step into a chapter of history that never quite ended. Mm. That's a pretty good way to end it there.
It is.
So Go check it out. It's
dark and, dark and poetic.
Sanatorium. Right? Yeah, it is. Well, I hope the creepies enjoyed that. That was, man, what a place, though. It does have a lot. Yeah, we need to
go check,
check
it out. Check out the videos.
Yeah, there's a lot of good videos. A lot of good videos.
A lot of good pictures that were out there that are like just intense, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something about sanatoriums, though. Man, they, again, in psychiatric, or they start out, you know, if it's a psychiatric hospital or they start out at schools, good intentions, I think, but then it goes awry and just ends up being tragic and mistreating people and kids and pretty, and then hence you have hauntings. And then we talk about them. So that's that. St. Albans Sanatorium. Coming off of that, Nate, what do you think? What do you think Sean's got for us?
Moment.
I would say moment, but I'm going to go dark side again.
Oh, you're so tricky. So somebody's got to be wrong. So what if I told you that I totally forgot about to do either one? I didn't have one tonight. No, that's not true.
That's not true.
It's dark side.
Oh,
nicely done. You're back on a streak.
Took me a while.
One. No,
well, yeah.
So this is Linkin Park. I've been waiting for this one for a good Castle one because there's a couple of them that got like bumped to the side. But this is Castle of Glass. And I felt like the lyrics are very appropriate for this discussion. Take me down to the river bend. Take me down to the fighting end. Wash the poison off, or sorry, from off my skin. Show me how to be whole again. Fly me up on a silver wing. Past the black where the sirens sing. Warm me up in a Nova's glow and drop me down to the dream below. 'Cause I'm only a crack in this castle of glass. Hardly anything there for you to see, for you to see. Bring me home in a blinding dream through the secrets that I have seen. Wash the sorrow from off my skin and show me how to be whole again. 'Cause I'm only a crack in this castle of glass. Hardly anything there for you to see, for you to see. 'Cause I'm only a crack in this castle of glass. Hardly anything else I need to be. 'Cause I'm only a crack in this castle of glass. Hardly anything there for you to see, for you to see, for you to see. And I'll stop saying for you to say.
I was going
to
say.
That was actually on there, so I was, like,
I was like, when are you done with this?
I'm going to do three of them, because that's what it says.
For you to see. 10 minutes later, for you to see.
For you to see. You to see. I told.
Jeez.
They were, we're talking about how going off on tangents, and I was telling them, like, oh, yeah, I do that all the time, and especially on here. And I said, sometimes I'm really good at reading the room, and there are other times that I don't even know that I'm in a building. So
I can see that.
I was like, I got to put that on a shirt somewhere. But Castle of Glass.
Castle of Glass. Okay. Of I've never heard it.
Of Glass.
Okay.
Of Glass. Sorry.
All right. Enough.
That's enough. Homage to Linkin Park, though.
Okay. Well, that was good. Appreciate it. Thank you, Sean. Good dark side. Shout outs. Sean, any shout outs this week?
I'm going to do a really weird one, but this is, you're going to appreciate this, and you're also going to think this is funny because I can't remember any of it. But Jenna last night was telling me, like, hey, I got some good dad jokes for you. So number one, I appreciate that she may not listen to the episodes, but she knows enough to know that we really enjoy our dad jokes. And so she said, she started reading me all these cow based dad jokes, about five or six of them. I'm sitting here as I'm trying to like remember any of them. I told her to send them to me. She did not. But she's sitting there laughing hysterically. And she's like, yeah, you should use those. Send them to me and I'll send them to Todd. But she thought they were the funniest things. And I was, normally when I say these kind of things, it's like, like cringe, you know, like only you think that's funny. She was over there just cracking herself up with these dad jokes. So I thought it was pretty funny. I also have two, she's my friend. She also works with me. She had several patients today. Basically every single one she saw, had, we'll call it Code Brown diarrhea problems. And she kept saying, oh my gosh, it must be me. And I told her, I said, I'm just going to say it. I'll say it in a nice way. You're having a crappy day. And I go, I'm sure the dad joke is not going to be appreciated, but I don't know what else to say. Jeez. I'm like, fingers crossed the next person doesn't have toileting issues, but she just
had. Too bad.
She said, I think we should admit everybody with a big, huge pack of wipes. Yeah, probably.
I don't envy your job.
No. I know you've told me that before.
Right? I don't envy. I told somebody.
I didn't name any names. No names. No names are mentioned.
No.
Yeah, no, I know you didn't.
Wow. Okay. Those are your shout outs.
That's all I got.
Okay.
What more do you need?
No more. No more shouts.
No more.
Nate, you have any this week?
I have a goofy shout out.
A goofy one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shock.
So we're down at the lake, and Saturday night they had a fireworks show out of Burnside.
Fireworks show. Okay.
So we put the boat in so that we could be out in the water in the dark and watch fireworks from the lake. The shout out goes to, there was another boat out there and their power completely died on their boat.
Oh.
And so we towed them back to the marina, and the shout out is hopefully they got to where they needed to go. Everything is safe. And yeah, we, told them we didn't need any money to help. We're just happy to help them and get them off the lake safely. And
nice.
They still gave us $50.
Oh,
so. I think it was at least worth $100.
No. Yeah.
That's nice. That's but nice. Yeah,
shout out to okay. them. And
their power failure.
And their power failure.
That would suck.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would suck.
The one nice thing about being on the lake is a lot of people are willing
very
to help
helpful.
You.
Yeah. So. They kind of figure everybody's
because
gonna,
it happens to
that's
everybody.
That's what I was going to say. It's going to happen at some point. So.
Last time I was down there, there was a guy, and it was an old gentleman. You could tell he had his shirt off, and he was on his back.
Of course, they always have their shirt off.
His back deck, and he was laying face down. Jeez. And I can't remember if you were with us when we did this, but I said, I go, what are the chances that that guy fell and thought, I'm just going to lay here and look like I'm suntan? You know what I'm saying? I had that thought. This is my profession.
Playing it off.
My profession has made me really like jaded. But
wow, it's really dirty down here.
Yeah.
I'll just wait for somebody
clean
to come
this.
On.
I might not have slipped and fell if I would have.
Hey, Frank, you okay down there? Just suntanning. He's white as a ghost, too. That's why I was like, I don't think he meant to do this. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, sort
that's
of a funny. Goofy shout-out, but
no, that's
hopefully
a nice
they mm-hmm. they got where they need to go and everything's
good.
Safe and got their boat running again.
Right.
I think it was just a drain battery. Mm-hmm. No way had jumper cables that you don't necessarily carry those on your boat.
Right, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
you should.
I can see that.
Well, sometimes we carry a jump pack if we know we're having battery issues, but
yeah.
we didn't have one with us that night. So
okay. Well, that was very nice of you to help.
And then,
them out.
Like I said, we told them, no money, we're good. And, well, $50? No. That's
sure.
fine.
you could,
well,
or
the one kid
absolutely.
Came
$50, that's
up.
All?
Yeah.
Well, the one kid came running up, and I was busy untying our ropes and stuff. And he ran up and, like, stuck his hand out, like, for a handshake. So Parker reached his hand out there and did the whole slap of the hands. And the money was in there.
Oh,
he's like, take it, and he took off running back to their boat.
Tricky.
Yeah.
Tricky,
so we're pulling away, and right. Parker's like, yeah, he gave us $50. So we went and got pizza.
I was gonna say, do
there
it like a little
go.
Family dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that was nice.
That's nice.
Nice of you guys, and nice of them to give you
mm-hmm.
$50. Well, that was good.
Is that not needed? But
yeah, I don't have any shout outs.
No shout out.
No shout outs for me.
No soup for you.
Nope.
You don't want to go on top of the mountain, just scream?
I do want to do that.
Yeah, scream therapy.
Nate, I would love to do that.
Mm-hmm. Or go, what are those
I would love to
anger
do that.
Rooms or whatever where you can
mm-hmm.
go and break stuff?
Yeah. I'd like to do that.
I saw some kind of, and I'd have to, there was a mountain that they say is not really that difficult to climb or as far as mountains go around the world. But it is supposed
mountain,
to be
just,
super haunted.
Just a hill.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be super haunted, and so people won't go there because they say, I think you run the risk of running into serious spirits or dark energies or losing your mind or, you end up
I've already done that,
with a bad case of the deads, And so it's like they say people will not, because they're, oh, yeah, sure, put me up and down this humongous mountain, but I'm not going up that one that's kind of a remedial.
Where is this that?
I can't remember.
We
I need to
names.
Look that up. Yeah, I know. I'm gonna I'll be looking that up. I'll figure it out.
He tells us the story, and he has no names.
Well, that's why I was like, yeah, this is probably, I'm
was
only giving you.
One time at that one place.
And now for the rest of the story. I don't have the rest of the story.
Man.
Darn it. You remember that?
What
that's
is
like,
it?
Yeah.
What did you say? I'm sorry, I didn't catch it. I'm looking up Honda.
That's like somebody saying, man,
mountains.
I saw this cool car.
I know.
I'm looking
I
it
thought
up.
Of you. What kind is it? I don't know. It was red. Well, what? I mean, is it a bed, a Ferrari? What kind of Porsche? What is it? All right, that's
darn
all right, Sean. That's all right.
There's a scary mountain out
there's
there.
A scary
there's
mountain,
a scary mountain.
A nameless scary mountain. All right.
I don't even know if it's in this country. That's the worst part. I should say, normally I save these kind of things, and I don't think I did.
That's right.
Darn it.
Well, let's end the shout out section and move on to our next sponsorship. Hey, creepies, do you like all things spooky? Do you love the fall season? Do you wish it could be Halloween all year long? Well, at Greenwood Happy Haunts, it is. Greenwood Happy Haunts is a year-round Halloween and fall store located at 248 Marka Plaza in Greenwood, Indiana. Custom vintage and unique items adorn the whole store. If you're looking for a unique gift for you or someone else, or just want to visit a place that puts a smile on your face, Greenwood Happy Haunts is for you. Mako listeners can get 10% off a single item when you mention this ad. Come to Greenwood Happy Haunts and get your spook on. Happy hauntings. Thank you, Greenwood Happy Haunts and Scott and Corey, for your sponsorship. We greatly appreciate it.
We'll see him here in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
They better get mentally prepared is what
mentally
you're saying.
Mentally prepared is, yes, more than anything.
When I walk in this time, I want to see fireworks.
Fireworks, wow. Wow. I just remember last time you walked in, you kind of did it gingerly. You wasn't sure, you know, the building would handle Nate.
Skittish dog.
But Corey was right there to greet you.
You look like you were dancing, took pictures, walking and everything. In. I wasn't there, but...
I was doing the cool guy walking in the place, you know, hey, pointing.
Hey, I'm here.
Hey, you over there.
I'm doing you a favor. All right. Here I am.
Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. We're getting close, so we do appreciate their sponsorship, and go get you some Greenwood Happy Haunts merch.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Fun stuff.
Yes, there's
lots to choose from.
And I saw a post that they're making coffin shelves, I believe.
I saw Scott picture, but I wasn't sure
he was working hard. He was laboring on Labor Day, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's such a talented guy.
Amazing woodworker.
Yep. Yeah. Wish I could do that. My dad was good at woodworking. He did it for a side job. Made lots of cool stuff.
My bookshelves.
I can do it.
Put together in high school, they just like fell over. You know, like, oh, that's probably not going to hold a book. Yeah.
No, I can do it. I just don't find enjoyment in it.
No.
Mm-hmm. I believe you can do it.
Well, I fixed his dresser drawer.
Yes, you did.
I haven't put it in yet.
Pristine.
I don't know if it works, Nate.
Pristine. Yeah, don't get too big of a head over there, right?
It's too sitting
late.
On top.
Too late.
I just, when I got home, I just sat on top of it. I'll mess with them later
you go,
on.
You go here.
I do need to put the drawers back in and then call whatever that place is called. I can't think of it. Restore.
Sort of like...
have them come pick it up.
Sean's Mountain.
Yeah.
Whatever that place is.
Now, I do think this is the one.
Restore. At least I came up with it.
So I found that's terrible. So people don't despise me out there too much. I do think this is the one. It's called Savage Mountain. Death rate of over 25% among climbers attempting its summit. And the 1986 season became known as the Black Summer due to 13 deaths. A chilling account from climber Julie Tizzle's descent involved a radio transmission from Camp 4 to base camp years after her death, with a British woman's voice pleading for help, which was impossible as no one was on the mountain at the time. These events, along with the belief that spirits remain unburied and thus haunt the mountain, contribute to its fearsome reputation. So I do believe that was the one, because I was like, okay. I know it's called something. So anyway.
We believe you.
Yeah.
I don't.
It does say that.
I don't believe him.
You should. Well, Mount Rainier, which I have not been on. Mount Everest, not been on that one either. And the, how do you say the Dyatlov Pass in Russia?
Dyatlov.
Dyatlov. I know. I that's one of those that I have to practice.
That's on my list, by the way.
Dyatlov.
That's going to be a two-parter.
It's pronounced
way too Russian
Dolph
for me.
Lundgren.
It's Dolph Lundgren.
It's not true. It's not true.
I must break you. I don't know when he says that. All right. Well, we appreciate Greenwood Happy Haunts. Back to them.
That's right.
And we will see them in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, go get you some Greenwood Happy Haunts stuff.
Go get you some.
Moving on. Mm-hmm. Second announcement, Sean. Do you have those?
Yes. You can follow us on our social media accounts, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and X. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two ways. Make sure you hit that subscribe button, give us a 5-star rating, and leave a review if the app allows. Whether you are a business or individual and you want to be a show sponsor, email or message us on Facebook or Instagram. And we sell all kinds of awesome merch, so go get you some.
There you go.
Nice.
Friend of mine and listener of the show, and She's a creepy. She ordered a sweatshirt. So it's sweatshirt weather. It's getting there anyway. So order you, yeah. Order some merch.
Sweater weather.
Yeah.
Why do they call them sweatshirts? I don't like sweating in them.
No. Mm-hmm. And they're not shirts.
Too hot.
They're
I
not
always take them off.
Mm. It's a conundrum. Yeah, I don't know why they call them sweatshirts. Yeah, you don't want to sweat, right? And they're not t-shirts. They're not shirts. But I don't know why. Nate, I can't answer that. I don't know why they call them sweatshirts. Maybe at one point that was the purpose of them, to sweat. I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah. Maybe as you work out.
I guess in the old-timey photos, you know, that little old-timey belly strap thing, jiggled guys, oh, they're always in sweatpants and sweatshirts.
Yeah. Maybe so.
Mm-hmm. I'll
have to look into that. Anyway, Nate.
Probably won't.
No. We're not. I just said that. It sounded good. It just sounded good. I can promise we won't.
Yeah, no.
I guarantee you that.
No.
Well, Nate, help us out, brother. What do you got?
Owl bands. And that's a wrap.
Okay. Wow.
Not Big Baby Biscuit.
Big Baby Biscuit.
It's got to be a song on that.
That was a good, that's a wrap.
Try.
Appreciate it. Well, we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to our episode 232 and our discussion on St. Albans Sanatorium. Until next time, Nate is your tech engineer. We are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out.
Keep it creepy.